Thanks very much to Paul and to the boys and girls this morning. I want to do a reading just at this particular time, and we'll read in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1. Paul's letter to the Ephesians and chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 15 down there to the end. Begins with the word wherefore, which means it's a continuation of what has been already said in the chapter. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his holy truth. Now let's just bow our hearts in prayer as we turn to God's word today. Father, we thank thee for who thou art, the Holy One. And we turn this morning to this holy book, this book that thou hast given to us, holy men of God, were inspired by the Spirit of God to write the words that we have in our own mother's tongue today. And we pray, O God, that you would bless your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit might take the word of God this morning by his mighty divine power. Bring it with blessing to all our hearts. Challenge us, speak to us, minister to our need today, whatever that need to be, for Christ's sake. Amen. I want you to turn this morning to the portion that we read this morning. Ephesians chapter 1 is one of the great chapters in the Bible. I think there's many great first chapters in the Bible. There's an interesting little study for you. For example, Genesis chapter 1 is a great chapter. It's the chapter of creation. And John chapter 1 is a great chapter. Now that's the chapter of the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And so on. Hebrews chapter 1 was a great chapter. And of course, this one is a great chapter. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul begins this chapter, as he begins many of his epistles, with greetings. He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And after he brings them greetings, he begins to exhort them to praise the Lord for all the blessings that he has bestowed upon them. From verse 3 down to verse 12, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And these blessings were not just blessings for the Ephesian believers, they're the same blessings are for us today. There's the blessing of election and predestination and redemption and adoption, and he goes on with these great blessings. I've called that the grace. We see here God's grace, because none of us deserve these blessings. They come to us because of God's grace. And then he begins to relate to them, my how and why they received these blessings, and he reminds them of the gospel in verse 13 and 14. He says, "In whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession." So we see here in this great chapter, that's how I would divide it up. I would divide it up with the greetings. And then we see the grace of God and all these blessings that are ours in Christ. And then we see the gospel through which we came to obtain all these blessings. And then the part that I read with you together this morning, we see the glory that belongs to Christ. And you know, as we begin to divide it up, I've divided up the portion we read together this morning. We see here the praise and prayerfulness of the servant in verse 15 and 16. He says, "After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." My Paul encouraged them in the fact that he made mention of them in his prayers. And we see the praise and the prayerfulness of the servant. He prayed that God would enrich them in verse 17, that God would enlighten them, and that God would increase their faith. And then we see here in verse 18 and 19, the perception and possession of the saints. In verse 18 and 19, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." He prayed that their inward eyes might be enlightened, their understanding might be enlightened, that ye might know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory and the inheritance to the saints. And as we go down, and I'm trying to keep going as quickly as I can this morning, we have not only the praise and the prayerfulness of the servant and the perception and the possession of the saints, but in verse 19 and 20, we have the power and the performance of the sovereign. He says here, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." You know, friends, he prays that these people would understand these things and that they would understand God's power. You know, God's power is almighty power. We see God's power manifested in so many things that are surround us. We see his power in creation, and you could take that on its own this morning, but that's not what we're after. It was this power, this same almighty power, that raised Christ from the dead. Remember when we read in the Acts of the Apostles, when the apostles went out and preached, they preached to the people about Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God who came. And they preached to the people about how he died on Calvary. And then we find in many of the messages that Peter preached, and Philip and Paul, it says this, "But God raised him from the dead." My dear friends, that was almighty power. That was resurrection power, when God raised his son from the dead. And God not only raised his son, that's resurrection power, but my God's salvation, we see the power of God, the mighty power of God. And my, in his preservation, because since we trusted Christ, we're kept by the power of God to this very moment. So we see here the praise and the prayerfulness of the servant, the perception and the possession of the saints, the power and the performance of the sovereign, and then down at the end of this chapter, we see the position and the preeminence of the Savior. And I want you to get the hold of that this morning. In verse 20, it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So he's bringing Christ before them. He's reminding these believers about the Savior. And he talks about his position. And this is the Savior's position today. He's at the right hand of the Father. And my dear friends, he's far above all principality and power. And that's the principalities and powers of all the angelic hosts, the archangel, and all the angels. He's far above all principality and power. And it says here, and hath made him put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we see here, when Paul speaks of the church, remember, that he's speaking about the mystical body of Christ. The church of Jesus Christ is made up of believers. He's writing to these believers, this church at Ephesus. And we are believers. If you're a believer this morning, we're in the church. We're part of the church. I was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ long before I was ever a member of any Baptist church or any other church. The day I got saved, I became a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. And when our Lord Jesus ascended, arose from the dead, he ascended back to heaven, and God said, "Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And that's his exalted position and his preeminence. And you know, when he rose from the dead, remember that he rose from the dead to hold certain offices. He rose from the dead to be the head of the church. But he was not only risen to be the head of the church, he rose from the dead to be the shepherd of the sheep. Over in Hebrews 13 we read, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep." So when he rose from the dead, he rose to be the head of the church. He rose to be the shepherd of the sheep. He rose again to be the advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father, John says in his first epistle. And you know, friends, he rose to be the high priest of every believer. We have a great high priest this morning, and he rose again to be the bridegroom. And these are his offices when he rose from the dead. This is his heavenly ministry for his people today. And our topic this morning is this: what the Lord is doing for his people today. We know what he did for us in the past. We know that he came and lived and died and rose again. We know that he saved us and he has kept us and helped us down through the road of life. What the Lord is doing for his people today, for you and I today. Let me begin in the context of where we are here. Christ is the head of the church. The Lord is preeminent among his people today. The Lord is preeminent as the head. He's ruling among the people. You know, the human body, the head rules over the members of my body. My arms and hands and legs and feet, my movement is being directed from the head. The head rules over and controls the members of my body. That's why when a person is in an accident and they get brain damage or some ill health comes to them and they get brain damage, you know, the parts of their body don't work with the same cohesion as they did when the head was in control. And you see, friends, that's the position that the Lord holds in the church. He is the head of the church, the sovereign head. And the members of my human body are in subjection to my head. We who are members of the body of Christ should recognize Christ as our living head. No human being is the head of the church. No man-made body or man-elected committee is the head of the church. Jesus Christ alone is the head of the church, and we who are members of his body should be in subjection to him. It's a thing called lordship. That's what it is. Jesus Christ, is he your Lord this morning? Are you recognizing the lordship of Christ? Because you need him to direct you. You need him, to guide you. You need to be in submission to his will and to his word. And you know, if your head is in control and you're in subjection to the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ, then there'll be harmony and spirituality among the members and in the body of Christ. So what the Lord is doing for his people today, as the head of the church, the Lord is preeminent among his people today. But he rose from the dead to be the shepherd of the sheep. Again, I quote from Hebrews. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. And as the shepherd of the sheep, the Lord is providing for his people today. David wrote that great 23rd Psalm. And he spelled out in the psalm what the shepherd does and how he looks after the sheep and he guides the sheep and he protects the sheep and he looks after the sheep and cares for the sheep. And you know, friends, we have a shepherd this morning in the glory seated at the Father's right hand. He's the shepherd. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. As a Christian, what are some of the things I need as I go through life from day to day? You know, I need grace. I need grace. I need grace for every day. Grace to help in every time of need. It's grace that helps me to serve God. It's grace that helps us to shine for God. It's grace that helps us to suffer for the Lord. Without that grace, dear friends, we can do nothing. I need grace to help. I need peace for my mind in this troubled age in which we live. So many people have worry and anxiety and genuine concerns about things. So many people are under the juniper tree. They're discouraged. And that applies to all of us. There's no age differential here at all. This is the things we are and we have. We need peace, the peace of God filling our mind. You know, I need guidance for the journey. I need victory over the world and the flesh and the devil. The attraction of the world attracts us, and the flesh speaks of the old nature that's within, and there's the affections and the desires of the flesh which become sinful, and there's the advances of the devil, and we need victory every day. We need victory in our Christian lives, and we need guidance for the journey. And you know, all these things are found in Christ. You see, if you need fuel for the car, where do you go to get it? Pull into the filling station. If you need food to put on the table, where do you go to? Where do you get it from? Go to Tesco or Sainsbury's or wherever. You know where to get what you need. And dear friends, we need to come to the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, the Lord is preeminent among his people today. The Lord is providing for his people today. The Lord is protecting his people today. My part of the work of the shepherd is to look after the sheep, after the flock. David protected the flock from the lion and the bear. And we need to be protected in our Christian lives. We need to be protected spiritually. Paul, in many of his epistles, he emphasizes the fact that the Christian life is a spiritual warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare. Friends, let me say this today to you. You know, following Christ is not just about singing choruses. Now, there's nothing wrong with singing choruses. But living for the Lord each day, living as a Christian, is not just about singing choruses. It's not just about meeting up with a few friends and having a cup of coffee. There's nothing wrong with that either. But the fact of the matter and the thing that we need to waken up to is this, that we're in a spiritual battle. The Christian life is a spiritual warfare. And Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And I don't mean to be controversial this morning, but I'll say what I believe. I believe that some of these laws that was passed concerning abortion and other things comes from the depths of hell. Satan is on the march. Satan and all his emissaries are on the march in these days in which we live. And we need to be spiritually protected. And Paul says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and the casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the Most High. God has given us weapons. You say, what are we? What are they? Well, that Bible that you hold in your hand this morning, that's a weapon. And prayer is a weapon. And the gospel is a weapon. And faith is a weapon. Yes, we need to be protected spiritually. I believe we need to be protected fundamentally. Particularly in the day and age in which we live. Ponderness, attack, the truth. Somebody comes to you, whether they come to your door or whether they meet you in the street, and they say to you, you know, Jesus Christ was not God. We don't believe that Jesus Christ was God, and we're telling you that Jesus was just an ordinary man. Tell me this. Can you answer them from the Word of God? Can you turn to the Scripture? The Lord Jesus said, it is written. Have ye not read? He referred to the Scripture every time. If somebody in your school or your college comes along and says to you, salvation is not just by faith. You need to be baptized as well. And they begin to add a lot of things that you're supposed to need to be saved. Can you answer them? Can you answer them? And that's why Bible study is so important, and knowing the Scripture, knowing what you believe, knowing what the doctrines of the Constitution of the Church means, We need to get back to Bible teaching and understanding and learning these truths, because we're in a battle. And the Lord, this morning, as the head of the church, he's preeminent among his people. As the shepherd of the sheep, he's providing for his people, and he's protecting his people. We're protected by his sovereign power, and nothing can happen to us except God allows us. But you know, friends, the Lord Jesus, he's our great high priest this morning. And as our great high priest, the Lord is praying for his people today. He's preeminent among his people. He's providing for his people. He's protecting his people. And he's praying for his people today. A high priest in Israel went in before God on behalf of the people once a year, took the blood from the altar in a basin, and went through the veil from the holy place into the holies of holies, and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat 7 times. Dear friends, the high priest who's in heaven this morning, our great high priest, he didn't go in before God once a year. He doesn't go in once a year. But my dear friends, it says this in Hebrews. Hebrews puts it, I think, very clearly. It says in chapter 9 and verse 24, if you want a verse to mark in your Bible, this is a great one. It says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true." And the holy places made with hands was the tabernacle and the temple. That's where the high priest went into. But Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's what the Lord's doing now. That word, that little word, is so important. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. We read that he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. The Lord is upholding his people with his prayers. Do you know that the Lord Jesus is praying for you today? Remember, he said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have thee, that he might sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Oh, dear friends, he prayed for Peter in his weakness. And I believe that it's only the Savior's prayers that keeps us on the road. The Lord is praying for us each day in so many different situations of life. In the trials of life, he's praying for you. If you're going through a trial this morning, there's one in the glory, and he's praying for you. My dear friends, if you're experiencing temptation, there's one who prays for you. If there's tears in your eyes for some reason, there's one in the glory and he's praying for you. The Lord is praying for you and me today. And the old hymn was so right when it said, "I have a Savior who's pleading in glory." The Lord is preeminent among his people. The Lord is providing for his people today, and he's protecting his people today. And the Lord is praying for his people today. And then, you know, when he went back to heaven, he went back to heaven as the advocate of the Father, the advocate with the Father. And as our advocate in the glory, we have an advocate, 1 John says. Our advocate in the glory is pleading for his people today. Pleading for his people today. Have a little, just look over in your Bible to John chapter 1. That's another great first chapter. John chapter 1. And there we read about this advocate, how that Christ is our advocate with the Father. You know, friends, We need to remember here that sin ruins and breaks our fellowship with the Father. It says here, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, verse 8, chapter 1, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, sins of the whole world. You know, friends, there's times we sin. We mightn't intend to sin, but there's times we sin. And this word advocate, it comes from the Greek, which means lawyer or solicitor, one who represents you in court, one who represents your case. And you know, the devil is known as the accuser of the brethren. That's one of his names. And he accuses us before God. He says, did you hear what he said? Do you see what she's doing? The devil is the accuser, and he accuses us before God. And it's then that our advocate stands up and stands by between the accuser and God the Father, and he says, Father, this is your child, and he has sinned, but I died for his sins, and I shed my blood for his sins at Calvary. And you know, friends, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why does God forgive us our sins? Because of Calvary. On the basis of Christ's work at Calvary, Christ pleads our cause. And my, when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, for the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us, and it keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Thank God for the advocate. That's what I would say this morning. As far as I'm concerned in my life, thank God for the advocate, because I have an advocate with the Father. One more to finish what the Lord is doing for his people. You know, he is the bridegroom who has gone to prepare a home for his people. The Lord is preeminent among his people today. He's providing for his people. He's protecting his people today. He's praying for his people today. He's pleading for his people today. And the Lord is preparing a home for his people today. Savior said, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, in my 30-odd years in Christian work and pastoral work in three churches, I married quite a number of couples in all of them. Funny enough, I was always nervous at weddings. No matter, I don't know why that was. I was never nervous about anything else, but anyway, that's beside the point. And you see, a young couple falls in love, and they plan to be married, and they come to the church, and they come at different times, and they come, and their names are different, and they come from different families, and they come to be married, and the ministers puts them through their vows, and they make their vows before God, and before the company that's gathered that day. And then the minister will say, I pronounce you husband and wife in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And you know, they leave together. and they leave with the same name, and they go to the same place because they're joined together. And you and I are part of the bride of Christ. We are his bride. And friends, the bridegroom's coming someday. And you know, he's coming to take us home. He's coming to take us to our eternal home. And you know, I'm sure, you know, as we look back on our home life with fond memories, but there's times when sickness comes into the home, times when sorrow comes into the home. But you know, friends, we're going to a home where there'll be no sickness, nor sorrow, nor no sin. All these things are passed away. My, we go where there'll be no more heartaches, to a place of joy and rejoicing. These are just some of the things that the Lord is doing for his people today. He's seated at God's right hand in the heavenly places. And as the head, the Lord is preeminent among his people. He is our living head. And he's the great shepherd of the sheep who provides and protects for us each day. And he's our great high priest who prays for us in every situation in life. And he's the advocate with the Father that pleads for me when I sin. And bless God, he's the bridegroom whom I'm looking for. And I pray that as we go through life, and how life changes so quickly at times, how life can become difficult, and how life can be good, but we're never sure of what a day will bring. But thank God this morning for the one who's representing us in the heavenly places. And I trust as we go out into another week that we might take courage in the things that the Lord is doing for us each day. May God bless his word.